Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to another week here on the Locked On Podcast Network. This is the Locked On Kings podcast. My name is Matt George, your host. I am a radio host, producer, and reporter from Sports 1140 KHTK, the flagship radio station of the Sacramento Kings in Sacramento, California. I have been around this team for pretty much my entire life, growing up as a fan of the glory days, as we like to call them in Sacramento, the days we focus way too much on. That's 2000, 2001, 2002. You know everything that happened between the Kings and the Lakers. We don't need to bring that up, but I grew up with that. I've been ingrained with this franchise ever since, been covering and working with and around this franchise ever since, and you are in the right place if you call yourself a Sacramento Kings fan and want to hear the latest news, updates, topics, interviews, scores, highlights, anything that has to do with Sacramento Kings basketball. It's right here on the Locked On Kings Podcast Network and the Locked On Kings Podcast. And if you are part of the Locked On Podcast Network or have been around the Locked On Podcast Network, you would know that this is your perfect hub for team-wide coverage, up-to-date, daily coverage of every single team in the NBA. And if you just call yourself a Kings fan, that's great. You can just stay right here. If you call yourself an NBA fan, there's also the Locked On NBA podcast. If you're also an NFL fan, there's the Locked On NFL podcast. This network is growing, expanding rapidly, and we want you to be a part of it, and we appreciate you taking the time here today to join me. Weekend of Sacramento Kings basketball recap. The Kings fell to the Denver Nuggets 130-104. The Kings are now 21-46 on the season. They are in Oklahoma City tonight to take on the Oklahoma City Thunder, and that is what we're mainly going to focus on previewing that game. Going to talk a little bit of Oklahoma City Thunder basketball, and yes, I know this is the Locked On Kings podcast, but I think the Oklahoma City Thunder are such an interesting basketball team to talk about, so we'll spend a little time on that. But first, on this Denver Nuggets game, let's listen to some of the highlights courtesy of the G-Man Gary Gerald on the call with the Sacramento Kings Radio Network. Take a listen.
Bogey looks right, goes left, keeps it now to the left elbow, up and down move, finds Coast at baseline, rolls for the right, there's the flip, this one is good, and it's a two-point game as a consequence. It's 12-10. Three-point range, back to Zebo, goes to the corner, Bogey quick release for three, he barely ripples the netting. Game is tied at 14 apiece. Kings missed seven of their first nine, but they've hit four in a row since then. We are tied for a second time. Sacramento on an 8-2 run. Here's Jokic trying to go up and under. He kicks it out instead. Three from Harris. Misses this one. Ball tipped, kept alive by Chandler. Shovels, and a baseline rip thrown down by Jamal Murray. That's a very heady, unselfish play by Wilson Chandler. And Murray with the rip makes it 19-16 in favor of the home-standing Nuggets. Behind the back with a dribble, shakes off one defender, throws to Buddy Hield in the right corner, step back corner three, he's got it, he's feeling it. Head up, bounce, races up the floor, but he got to hurry. Harris beats him, and Harris takes a perfectly placed pass and lays it up and in. Great transition, pass for Denver, and a great push. Hield raced up the floor to try to catch him, but he couldn't. Vince Willie now drives on Plumlee, goes high glass, comes up short, gets it back, puts it up, rejected by Plumlee. Willie goes 0 for 2 in that sequence. Then he comes up with a great defensive play, midcourt steal, with numbers, bounce pass, left wing, driving to the rack, and scoring is Garrett Temple. That was certainly well done after Cauley Stein had been stuffed by Mason Plumlee. Heel with a change of direction, left to right, to the rack, score it on the drive to the basket by Buddy Heel. He has 8 points, and Mike Malone, not real happy there, stomps out onto the floor, hands on hips as he surveys, as only Michael Malone can do. Here's Garrett Temple now in the low post, out to Hield on the right wing. Buddy retreats for the dribble, crosses over. Nice move on Barton in the paint, drops to Costa, up and under reverse. Another great recovery and a quick hoop by Costa Koufos on the field from Buddy Hield. Harris streaking up the floor. Great bounce pass from Barton from behind the midcourt line for a streaking fast break 2 points. Bogdanovich transition three, rims it, doesn't get it. And the Kings are now 2-for-12 from downtown. Oh my. Barton drives to the rim, too easy. He's fouled, scores a 3-point opportunity. Denver's just playing with the Kings right now. They're toying with them. High screen from Millsap, Murray drives, takes to the rim, misses this time, and it's rebounded by the Fox. Races up the floor, gets in the lane, drops to the last moment to Zebo. Nice catch and conversion by Zach Randolph on the assisting pass from De'Aaron Fox. Almost caught Zebo by surprise, but he converted it. 55-44. Jokic against Cauley-Stein, room to work on the left angle outside the paint. Diggs shakes once, shakes twice, spins again, goes inside. What a pass, and what a layup on the score down inside by Jamal Murray. That was an absolute clinic put on by Jokic. Nikola from Serbia, my goodness, that was superb. Out to Bogey, uncovered for three. This one is short. He cannot make a three-pointer. Leaking out, Harris to the rack. He's fouled by Bogdanović and scores. This is hard to watch. Give Denver credit, man. They are doing a great job. They're breaking and leaking out at every opportunity. Not much good happening for the Kings right now. That's as good a look as De'Aaron Fox will get. Here's another great feed and a power jam thrown down. Gary Harris. Jokic with the assist. That gives him assist number 9. Here's Jokic. He's going to try for three. He buries another one. Jokic is 4 of 4. I beg your pardon. 4 of 4 from three-point range. Now 101-65. Inbounds pass grabbed by Justin Jackson, and mercifully, this one is over. Dave Yeager comes up, embraces Michael Malone, congratulates him for a job really well done.
My thanks to the G-Man and the Sacramento Kings Radio Network for providing those highlights. The Kings, once again, are struck with the plague of the one bad quarter, and that came in the third quarter where the Kings only scored 19 points. I wish I had the stat in front of me. One of these days I'm going to go back and just go through all the games this season and look at how many games how the Kings had that one quarter where they score less than 20 points, because it seems to happen far too often. Those are the quarters that the Kings really dig themselves in massive holes, and they have to fight and struggle and scratch and claw and do everything they can just to battle back, but at some point it just becomes an insurmountable deficit that they have to try and work their way out of. That was the case here in Denver. Outscored 35-19 in the third quarter. The Kings did do a good job trying to battle back, put up 36 in the fourth, but it was a little bit of a case of, actually, it was definitely a case of too little, too late. The Kings hung around with Denver in the first quarter. Second quarter, were outscored 34-24, but the third was really where the Denver Nuggets put the game away. The Nuggets are now 37-30. We're going to talk about them in a little bit as well, because they are definitely in the playoff race, and they have a couple names that you'll recognize if you call yourself a Kings fan. They have some ties here to the city of Sacramento. One big one, really. Buddy Hield was the leading scorer for the Kings, 18 points in 27 minutes. It's good to see him looking for his shot more. Kosta Koufos is continuing to be a double-double machine, 14 points and 10 rebounds in that one. De'Aaron Fox returned from injury, not too good on the scoring column, had 12 points, which is fine, but he's doing a lot better distributing the ball. 9 assists, and I've liked the fact that De'Aaron Fox has found a way to use his athleticism and his speed to attack the basket, to draw in defenders, and to be able to dish the rock and find an open man. He's been expanding on that and doing that a lot better. If you remember at the beginning of the season, De'Aaron would try kind of get himself into trouble trying to figure out, okay, I have my speed and I know that there's that asset. I can get by basically everybody in the league, and he really can. The problem is he's struggling to draw fouls, which comes with being a rookie, and he's still trying to figure out that when to take that mid-range shot, when to take the outside shot, and when to really try and attack the basket hard and finish around the rim. Well, he's taken a step back from just looking at scoring first, scoring only, and he's embracing, what can I use, or how can I take advantage of what the defense is giving me? And that's really important, I think, when you're a point guard in the NBA. I had the opportunity to speak with on Game Night, which is the Sacramento Kings pregame show that we put on here on Sports 1140 KHDK. I spoke with the high flyer Henry Turner. You may recognize that name. He's a former Sacramento King. He's a former NBA player, the high flyer, because he threw down vicious dunks. It was an absolutely ridiculously athletic guy. He played the two guard position, so not exactly similar, completely similar to what De'Aaron Fox is going through. But he walked us through on KHDK, walked us through just some scenarios and things that happen and go through the heads of point guards. And it's a lot to take in, but the best point guards can take it all in and make those split second decisions in half a second to a second to a second and a half. Guys like Chris Paul, James Harden, what they do best, even Russell Westbrook, who the Kings will see tonight, they are able to make those split second decisions to analyze a situation, to tackle it, and a lot of time make the right decision. That's really what separates not necessarily the boys from the men, but the superstars from the stars and the regular players here in the NBA. And De'Aaron Fox is starting to pick up on that. And what I mean by that is where at first he would just be attack-minded, really kind of one-dimensional, attack the basket and try to score. Now he's recognizing, okay, if I take that quick step and I get by my one defender and I see a big man coming towards me, old De'Aaron Fox, or at least beginning of the season De'Aaron Fox, would try and go right at that center, try and draw the foul, or try and get a shot up around him and score at the rim. This De'Aaron Fox is recognizing that when that defender's coming towards me, or maybe a wing defender is coming towards me, there's going to be somebody open, and I can try and figure out a way to get the ball to that player. And what that does is it comes full circle. Because what you're hoping for is if De'Aaron can establish that part of his game consistently, if he can be known as a good passer out of trouble when he's attacking the basket, pretty soon that defender's not going to want to leave that open man to come help on De'Aaron. So Fox is going to get more opportunities at the rim. So it all plays into itself. I've been very pleased with seeing how Fox has begun to expand his game in that way. I'm curious about your thoughts on that, what you've seen from De'Aaron Fox. Are you liking his development? This season is all about development of players. De'Aaron Fox is pretty much the number one guy that the Kings want to develop as the point guard of their future. I've seen definite strides. His ability from the beginning of the season to run an offense to now has seen vast improvement. Also, his outside shot looks a lot better. It's still not as consistent as you want it to be, but he seems a lot more confident in it, and that's been a welcome sight to see. So let me know what you think about that. You can find me on Twitter, at MattGeorgeKHDK. Shoot me your thoughts on how De'Aaron Fox is progressing. So I'm happy with the fact that De'Aaron Fox has reined in his offensive aggressiveness a little bit, but what I am also very happy to see is that Buddy Hield has allowed his offensive aggressiveness to go up, and he's looking for his shot more and more. You know, I've heard some of the reasons why Buddy Hield is not playing as much as fans may want him to play is because sometimes he looks for his shot a little bit too much or does things outside of the offensive flow or the offensive scheme of Dave Yeager. I'm not going to try and tell Dave Yeager how to coach, but at this point in the season when it's all about developing players and you want Buddy Hield to be one of your key pieces going forward, I am absolutely 100% okay with him trying to be aggressive, trying to look for his own shot, and trying to get his offensive going. We've seen that he's a microwave, and when he gets going, the Kings absolutely benefit from his scoring. He is the best outside shooter on this team. And here's what's so weird about this team, and if you've heard this stat, if you follow the Kings, you've heard this stat thrown around so much. The Kings are one of the top three teams in shooting three-pointers in the NBA. They have their best, like, the best three-point shooting percentage in the NBA, or one of the best. But they're also at the bottom of the league in three-point attempts. That's mind-boggling to me. The fact that you have a young team that likes to play fast, I don't care if the Sacramento Kings play like the Houston Rockets, because quite frankly, defensively, they're not good enough to try and consider themselves to be a good defensive team. So if you're going to be an outside shooting team and are going to try and run and gun, now is the time to do it and try it out. I'm not saying Dave Yeager should completely change his scheme and allow his players to run around willy-nilly and play like they're playing in a pickup gym or a playground. But it is okay to emphasize the strengths and allow your players to do what they do best and try and use that to exploit your opponents. And I think the Kings still need to work on that a little bit when it comes to Buddy Hield. But again, last night, he was the Kings' leading scorer, 18 points in 27 minutes. And I am absolutely 100% okay with Buddy Hield taking a lot of shots, looking for his shot, and trying to get himself offensively into the flow. He's a really, really good catch and shoot three-point shooter and shooter in general. I would like to see him develop his game and work on getting his own shot. That's really where he struggles, is putting the ball on the floor and creating for himself. If he can use the final few games of this season to work on that, and especially work on that this summer, he could really take a massive step for the Kings at that two-guard position next season. So the Sacramento Kings are taking on the Oklahoma City Thunder tonight in Oklahoma City. Your Kings are 21-46. Mentioned that earlier. They're in 12th place in the Western Conference, and pretty much 12th through 15th is a tight race for who's going to be the worst team and have the best possible draft chance. That is in the Western Conference. There's also a few teams in the East, the Hawks, the Magic, the Nets, and even the Bulls that are in that conversation as well. But from 11 on up, there's quite a lot of separation. The Lakers are in 11th. They're 30-36. They've been playing a lot better, but there's no chance in heck we're talking about the Lakers here on the Locked On Kings podcast. Then you have the Jazz in 10th. What's crazy is the Utah Jazz are in 10th place, 37-30. The Nuggets, who the Kings just lost to, are in ninth place with the same record, 37-30. The Western Conference is just a ridiculously tight race, and that's why this game against the Oklahoma City Thunder is so important, not just for the Kings, but especially for the Oklahoma City Thunder. They're in sixth, 39-29. They're tied with the Timberwolves, who are in fifth, 39-29. The Spurs are just a game behind them at 37-29, and they are also tied with the New Orleans Pelicans, who are 38-28, but even though with tiebreakers, the Pelicans are in fourth place. So if that sounded really convoluted, I apologize. Let me simplify that for you. Basically, the Thunder, the Timberwolves, and the Pelicans are all 14 games back of first place in the Western Conference. The Pelicans are in fourth, Timberwolves are in fifth, Thunder are in sixth. So every win and loss can send you plummeting or skyrocketing into a better position here in this tight Western Conference race. So the Kings better expect to get the best out of the Oklahoma City Thunder. I talked about this also with Henry Turner on Game 9 on Sports 1140 KHDK recently, that the Kings are in a great opportunity for the remainder of the season to play spoiler. And while you want to rather be the team that's trying to get spoiled than the team doing the spoiling, playing spoiler for a team that's young, that's trying to figure themselves out, I think is a perfect opportunity for the Kings to be bugs, nuisances, and really get an opportunity to play the best of other teams, what the best of other teams have to offer, and try and beat them at their game. And the Oklahoma City Thunder are going to be throwing, I expect them to be throwing everything at the wall and everything at the Sacramento Kings tonight, because they know a loss could bring them down to seventh and then eighth, and with how close the race is, really, the Thunder could lose two games and all of a sudden they're out of the playoff race and they're down in 10th. Or they could win two games and be up in third or fourth. Like, that's how tight this race is right now. So the Kings have a very, very good opportunity to not only spoil things for Oklahoma City Thunder, but play a team that is desperate, that is fighting, knowing that every single game from this point on matters. And it's not just the Oklahoma City Thunder that the Kings are facing that are in that situation. The Kings are taking on a lot of teams here coming up that are in these tight playoff races, not just in the Western Conference, but also in the East. You have the Miami Heat, who are coming here in Sacramento on Wednesday. You also have the Detroit Pistons. You have the Utah Jazz that I mentioned. They have a over 500 record. There's six games over 500, I believe. Yeah, or seven games over 500, and they're in 10th place in the Western Conference. So you're going to face the best of the Utah Jazz on Saturday. You also have the Indiana Pacers. You have the Los Angeles Lakers, who are trying to get their way in. I don't think they're gonna catch up, though. The San Antonio Spurs in April. So the Kings have opportunities and matchups here where they're going to face the best of the what other teams have to offer, and they're going to get an opportunity to play spoiler. And I think that's going to be a fun role that I hope these Kings try and embrace and try and play to the best of their ability. Great opportunity to develop and learn from games like the one tonight against the Oklahoma City Thunder. But here's the deal with the Thunder. 39-29, sixth in the West, like I mentioned. They're tied. They're 14 games back, along with the Timberwolves and the Pelicans, who are fifth and fourth, respectively. The Thunder are so strange to me, because doesn't it just feel like something's missing with that team? You would expect them to be better than what they are, but with the way the Western Conference is and how tight it is, it's not just their fault. But with that big three of Carmelo Anthony, Russell Westbrook, and Paul George, I think it's safe to say Russell Westbrook, he's still playing fantastic, and he's still a phenomenal player, but he's certainly declined from his MVP year last year, which it's hard to top the historic year that he had last year. Paul George is a good piece. A lot of attention is on George, on whether he's going to remain in Oklahoma City and continue to play with Russ, or if he's going to go and test free agency, and everybody has him pegged to join the Lakers, because that's his dream team, apparently. Carmelo Anthony is well over his prime, but still a very capable scorer. But really, that's it. What else does this Oklahoma City Thunder team have? And I'm worried about, they're going to keep fighting and try and make it to the dance, and they most likely will make it to the playoffs. But they have that big three. Also, they have Steven Adams, who in my opinion is one of the best just all-around centers in this game. A big man who has still succeeded. He's a great defender, also a capable passer, a very important piece for this Oklahoma City Thunder team. But other than that, you look at this bench of Raymond Felton, Jeremy Grant, Patrick Patterson, and you're not too ecstatic. Nick Collison, even. It's that three, those three guys you don't really have to worry about the bench. So if you're the Sacramento Kings approaching tonight's game, best case scenario is just try and take away one of the three. And then don't let anybody from the bench surprise you. Carmelo Anthony abused the Kings last time, and he's coming off of a very poor performance. Only had 2 points in 32 minutes in the Thunder's 104-94 win over the Spurs on Saturday. Carmelo abused the Kings from outside the last time the Kings and the Thunder played not too long ago in Sacramento. That game was on February 22nd. The Thunder won that game 110-107. Remember, it was Russell Westbrook who hit the game-winning three of that one. So the Kings are capable of hanging with this team. So if you could take one of these three, take their offensive production out, this team is going to struggle. It's going to be hard to stop Russell Westbrook. So if I'm the Kings, I'm focusing my attention on either Paul George or Carmelo Anthony. It's safe to say about 70% of the scoring, 75% even of the scoring of this team comes from those three combined. So if you can take one of them away and then don't let anybody on the bench come up and surprise you, the Kings are putting themselves in a very, very good position to win this game. They're forcing Russell Westbrook to put up 20, 30 shots, which we all know he's capable of doing that, and he doesn't always do well when he does that. Or you're forcing Paul George to turn the dial back to when he was the up-and-coming star of the Indiana Pacers battling LeBron James and the Miami Heat. So if the Kings could effectively take Carmelo Anthony out of the game, force him to struggle like he did against San Antonio on Saturday, I like the Kings' chances to contend and be around when this game is up for grabs. We will see if the Kings are able to get the job done. If you want to listen to this game and you're in the Sacramento area and you're not able to be in front of the TV, you can listen on Sports 1140 KHDK. The G-Man will have the call. Pre-game begins at 4:30. It's a 5 o'clock tip-off. Again, catch all the action right here on KHDK. Or if you are out and about, away from the Sacramento area, you can always check out the NBA League Pass to be able to follow it that way. Of course, you can watch the game on TV as well. We will come back and return tomorrow. We will break down this Kings and Thunder game. Also, I'm trying to effort the former host of the Locked On Kings podcast. You know him well, Jason Ross. He will join me at some point this week, hopefully tomorrow, and we're going to start talking a little bit about March Madness and what pieces that the Kings should be keeping their eye on, what college pieces that are out there that the Kings should be very closely paying attention to and watching. March Madness is here, which means overreaction season is here. This is really a good opportunity for college players to show what they can do in high-pressure situations. So I know the Kings and every other team in the NBA are going to be watching. Jason Ross follows March Madness very, very closely. He's going to join us and talk about all of that. So look forward to that tomorrow. But until then, my name is Matt George. Thank you so much for joining us here on the Locked On Kings podcast. We will see you tomorrow, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.